Unstoppable Women is a space for women to come share their stories of resilience and relentless spirit. It's about their stories of struggle, fighting the odds, and eventually succeeding. In each episode, we speak with powerful achievers and share their stories to inspire others who want to create their own path to success. Tune in each week to find out how to become unstoppable. In this episode, we meet an unstoppable woman who's a creative professional with over 20 years of experience. But that's just one facet of her personality. She's also a very strong advocate for supporting local artisans, something she's now driving through her own podcast, and also a believer in power of creativity. A family person, she straddles the professional and personal worlds with equal aplomb. Welcome to the show, Manisha Singhatyal.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
So tell our listeners something about yourself.
So I'm a mom. I'm a working woman. I'm a daughter. I'm a daughter-in-law. And I'm a wife. I'm a multitasking woman. Yeah, so I'm trying to juggle all of them like I think every other woman in India does or around the world does.
So your professional career has been, you know, very interesting from a creative perspective. I think you were part of the entertainment industry when soap operas were taking off in a big way. And we've seen you at the helm of your career, leading all those shows, which were hitting the TRPs right at the top. You want to talk about that?
So, you know, I feel very lucky that my passion is my profession. Because of that, I'm very passionate about what I do, and hence it doesn't seem like a job to me. I have created, yes, some of the most iconic shows. I've been a part of Kyunki Saas Bhi Kabhi Bahu Thi, which is where I started my first show.
It's one of the longest running soap operas, right?
It is one of the longest running, but more importantly, it is something, a soap opera that changed the way television was viewed. It launched on the same day, 3rd July 2000, the same day as KBC. And at that time, Star was number three. Honestly, our only hope between Ekta and me was we should become number one on the network. Okay. Little did we realize we were not just going to be number one, the channel was going to be number one, and we were going to become a household name. So just like traffic would come to a standstill when KBC would play at nine, similar experience would happen at 10:30 every night. And, you know, it's created some of the most iconic characters. Yeah. We have Tulsi, which is now Smriti Irani. And it just was a show that I think related to so many people and started a trend of daily soaps. Because after that, you just saw the whole weekly shows taking a backseat and daily soaps flooding the market.
Sure. But how have you personally managed to evolve with this evolving industry, right? I mean, I've seen people who've done long form in the old days, the long form was produced. Somewhere, some people have got just stuck in that phase and they're like, we can't adapt to technology. We don't want to go to digital or social media. You know, we are very comfortable. But I've seen you evolve with times. You know, you have taken to new technologies, taken to new formats. You have established new companies, new functions. So you want to talk about your evolution within entertainment industry?
So, you know, I personally believe that if you stop learning, you stop growing. And sometimes it's important to, in order to learn, you need to disconnect. So when I was doing daily soaps, I consciously disconnected from doing daily soaps. And I had done a fair share of them for 2 years, day in and day out. And then one day I just disconnected, saying I want to do different stuff. And I started India's first kids daily soap, Shakalaka Boom Boom, which again was very tough and challenging to do because working with children is a whole different ballgame. Sure. And thereafter, one led to, you know, doing Hangama, India's first homegrown kids channel. That channel went on to be replicated in Malaysia and Indonesia. Now, you know, you have to learn with the times. When you go, you need to see the people, the consumers there, the people that are, you know, going to be part of the show there. And you need to adapt and learn from them. Right. So one thing I always do as a principal, I learn from people. I listen to people. I think we need to listen more and talk less. And that's the only way we'll grow. And then when I did Zoom, it was all short form content. Mm. It was all Bollywood. It was more journalistic. It was more feature-ish,
yeah.
Very different from the daily soap.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing movies. Now I'm doing podcasts. Now I'm doing web series. Again, different. But like I said, you need to adapt and need to disconnect from the old narrative to be able to tell your brain to, you know, imbibe and bring out different kind of creativity.
So just linking this back to, you know, the spirit of Unstoppable, right? I mean, it's all about just keeping that flame alive and just going after what you want and what you think intuitively at a gut level is right for you. But, you know, sometimes women do get stuck in their identities and roles which they play. So how did you manage to balance professional and personal life and still in your professional life, you were evolving and you were adapting?
You know, Shailaja, it's never easy. Okay. I always believe it's very easy to give up. When you want to resign, all you need to do is write an email. And when you want to be at work, it takes a lot more effort. You know, I have twins and I had a very difficult pregnancy. And at that point in time, the choice was to give up working because I was supposed to be on complete bed rest for 9 months. And this is way back in 2012 when there was nothing called work from home, especially in Indian companies, right? So, and especially in a media company.
Absolutely.
So now I had a choice to say I'll either give up or I'll continue to work. But how could I continue to work when I was supposed to be on a strict bed rest? And here I must give full credit to Times of India and to Vineet Jain. You know, he said she can work from home as long as she wants. We value her and we want her. The only thing is she needs to tell us if she's going to 100% come back to work full time. And I think that was a very reasonable ask.
Yeah.
And I have worked lying down on my bed with different teams in my bedroom. So it was quite a sight. There would be people sitting in my bedroom surrounding my bed and we would do meetings. And I think I just, you know, it was, I think that kept me also alive in terms of not just distracted by the tough pregnancy that I was going to go through or was going through, but it just kept me more sane.
Wow. But, you know, just this sheer spirit. I mean, even when you have an infrastructure support system, but there's something inside which is making you just sit and go through that phase, right? It's commendable, I mean, what you're telling, because in normal circumstances, people would give up.
People would give up.
Yeah.
But I always tell people, you know, chhodna bahut asaan hai. And it was never easy for me. I had to travel from, you know, we used to live in Andheri. I used to travel to Lower Parel, which is an hour of travel, one way. And I used to get calls saying, my daughter is running 102 fever, you need to rush home.
Yeah.
And the agony of a mother for that 60 minutes to reach home can be very, you know, it can be very traumatizing and very, very, you know, frustrating because you're caught in traffic. You can't go home. You're trying to reach and you're looking at your watch every second, hoping a miracle would happen. But I think it also has to do with the fact that my mother was always working. Now, I have always seen my mother work. And my family members, all the women in my house, I'm very fortunate to come from a family where women work. So my mother-in-law at the age of 75 is working. So, you know, it's just that...
Examples around you.
Examples around me.
Yeah.
Support around me. And the fact that I think children become a lot more independent and value you and appreciate you. Because they see the time that mommy spends is pure quality time.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important for children, especially the boys, to learn. Because if they learn, they will value their spouses more.
Right.
So I think that's very important. And I think, you know, also the fact that you don't really, you know, I think it's very important for women, for their confidence building,
yeah.
for their own self-respect, to be financially independent.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what you do.
Mm.
It's the fact that you do it. So for me, I really encourage women to say, thoda karo, do ghante ke liye karo.
But karo.
Ghar se karo. You know, we live in a city which gives you a lot of opportunities. Lot of opportunities. I know so many people who are living in like literally slums, and you know, they're doing such creative work.
Yes.
They're stitching blouses
yes.
to making jewelry at home.
Yes.
They're all working.
This comes, you know, this brings me to Voices for Local, right? One of your recent podcasts is so fascinating because you're speaking a lot about these artists and bringing those stories out, you know. And a few conversations we had in the past about it. You want to share with our listeners?
So, you know, Voices for Local happened. It's really my passion project.
Yeah.
And it happened because I, during COVID, landed up discovering a lot of local brands,
okay.
which till now I had not, because if you're working, then you're hardly shopping. The only time you're shopping is when you're abroad or at a duty-free,
mm-hmm.
you know, or when you're on a holiday, basically.
Yeah.
During COVID, everything was shut. You know, you could not get the products that you were used to using. And I landed up discovering a lot of Indian products, right from my kajal, okay? So, to footwear, to bags, to clothes, and brands which were very good quality. It's all in our head, you know. We believe, you know, unless a bag is designer, it's not good.
Or the quality is not good.
But I landed up discovering so many Indian homegrown brands with such interesting stories.
Right.
Stories of how they grew from small town India. And today they're a big brand. And, you know, just recently I interviewed two girls.
Mm-hmm.
One is in first year of college.
Okay.
The other one is in the third year of college. So they're not even graduates as yet. They're fulfilling their mother's dream
mm-hmm.
of creating an online brand of hand-painted saris and dupattas and lehengas.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous pieces. Two girls from Udaipur.
Okay.
Fulfilling their mother's dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so hardworking. And they've grown tremendously well in the last year and a half, which
mm-hmm.
is with the pandemic in mind.
How do they distribute?
They're online. So a lot of brands are online. And again, such fascinating stories. Today, I interviewed somebody where she has empowered more than 1,200 women of lower income groups. And I think that's so fascinating. And these are real stories where people work very closely with karigars, people work with weavers, because these are the people that suffered so much during the pandemic. And I think each one of us can do just so much more, because these brands are really one of a kind.
Mm.
You know, I interviewed a weaver from Bhuj. He took 1 week to give me an interview. And I said, aapne mujhe pehle interview kyun nahi diya? And he said, wo madam, main ek hafte se ek laptop arrange karne ki koshish kar raha tha mere gaon mein, taki mera audio acha aaye aur meri kahani bahut sare logon tak pahunche. And I thought that was so nice. But let me tell you, he has an Instagram account and is selling such fabulous clothes, but all handmade, one of a kind.
Yes.
There's just so much talent that for me, Voices for Local had to happen.
It's so, you know, it's very interesting what you're saying, because if you see the way social commerce has taken off, right, especially in the last 18 months, and social video commerce and spaces like Instagram, which are visually, you know, enabled to show in a very native way, you know, what the seller is trying to sell. In fact, I ended up shopping a few during COVID time, and it was like not because of the product as much as, you know, how visually appealing what they were doing was. Unlike when you go to another platform, I think Instagram is a great medium.
Yeah.
But at the same time, are they tying up with some bigger platforms, or it's only through Instagram and doing some?
So some of them have their websites.
They have their websites.
Some of them are only on Instagram.
Right.
So is it? Are they going through some trainings for these things? Because this is all technology.
It's all technology. So different people are doing different things. Some are very tech savvy already. Some play a lot of emphasis on data.
Ah.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
And some, I think, are still somewhere struggling between offline and online.
Okay.
But, you know, because their offline business is doing well, they have the time to focus and grow the online.
Right.
And sometimes they're also just lucky because the whole online boom with everybody going to Instagram has just led to so much growth for them, because also so many tech apps are available, right? Shopify is easy to integrate and work on. Razorpay is so much easy to integrate and just do payment gateways.
Right.
So it's become so easy.
Right.
And it's really, you know, so for me, the whole idea for Voices for Local is, at the moment, it's a podcast, but that's not the intent of it. The intent is to actually do community building and make a whole community where if anybody wants to shop and get to know about Indian homegrown brands, let's say you want to gift your mom a nice pashmina, but you know, you don't know where to go except the usual places.
Yeah.
We should be able to give you options to tell you these are Indian, you know, stores.
So you're looking at it as a platform in future.
It's going to be a platform in the
community
future.
Community building platform.
It's going to be a whole community building platform where we are going to talk about workshops that are taking place, different brands that are available, if you're in which city, what all you can do that day. So yes, work baby steps, but we're getting there.
Huge, huge potential. I mean, I've seen new brands which are coming up in this space. So definitely, there is a huge potential to bring the Bharat and India together.
Yes.
There is a huge story happening in the backdoors of Bharat, which you're bringing forth through this show. But having said this, you also launching many other podcast shows.
That's right.
Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Podcasting came to me completely by accident in COVID because all shooting had stopped. But it's something, a medium that, again, for me, a learning to be able to tell a story without video. So, yes, we are doing some very fascinating shows on it. It's some 15 plus shows that I'm doing. Again, different genres, from fiction to nonfiction, to even a maitho. But all different genres. So once they come out, I think, you know, one can tom-tom about it and speak about.
Absolutely. I mean, this, like you said, you know, during pandemic, many people took to being creators, influencers, or took to podcasting because sitting in the house, you know, the creativity had to come out. Creative catharsis has to continue.
Has to continue.
Yeah, it's absolutely an amazing medium. But from your visual days, you know, where you were creating content, that was a video format, and now you're in audio format. Challenges, comparisons?
You know, like I said, for me, it was a whole unlearning and learning. Because suddenly you had to tell a story without the video. So when you're shooting a sequence for television, web, anything with a video medium, there's a lot of emphasis on the expression, the actress herself, her clothes, her makeup, the background. So there's a lot more to take in. When it's just an audio medium, you really have nothing to play with except the sound, the voice, and the story.
Critical.
To do that, you definitely need to have your research in place, great writing in place. So for me, that was the fun part.
Right.
Now, to produce multiple shows is the easy part because there's no shooting hassle. There's no, you know, none of the... You know, shoot
the entire
production.
Paraphernalia for, you know, what
exactly
video productions.
Exactly, coordination of actors, the location, none of it. So to produce is an easier part, but to create is the challenge, and which is where the fun lies, because you'll end up doing just so much more. And we're really not far from the fact where today you hear so many web series and books, you know, books being adapted into web series. Soon you'll be hearing of podcasts being adapted into series and movies.
Yeah. So inspiration from one medium to the other.
To the other. Yeah.
So what's your point of view on, you know, women growing up the ranks in the corporate world? I mean, there's always this huge debate on women empowerment, gender equality. You know, that's been in discussion for over 5 years, 5 or 7 years now across the globe. But do you really think there's a glass ceiling which women go through?
Yes and no. You have to lay your own boundaries. And I think you need to define where you want to be. And if you want to be somewhere, you'll get there. We've just had a woman CEO for Chanel.
Yes.
So very inspiring, right? We've just had Falguni Nair post 50 come up with an IPO when most women would think of retiring.
So it's changing. Times are changing.
It's changing. And I think that is what is important. That there's a huge playing field. Own it. If you're going to lay your own boundaries, that's your own doing. It's a glass ceiling. Crack it, girl.
Go for it.
Go for it. Just break the ceiling. Yeah. It's just glass.
You know, these are the stories which should come out, Monisha, why we started this show, to inspire more and more women. You know, just not to feel bottled in and to feel that there's much more happening out there in the world. And it's happening all across. So what is the source of your energy? I find you very energetic, yet very calm, and I see you highly aware as a person. How do you draw? What's your source? Is it spirituality? Is it your creativity?
That's a tough one because I think I'm just a born happy soul.
That's so simple. You're simplifying the complex.
You know, I have my mind tuned in a certain way. And it's very strange. But my mind deletes the negatives and only keeps the positives. And a lot of times I have met people after many years and I've just gone and hugged them and said, hi, how are you? This and that. And the person standing next to me said, you were so warm to her, but you and she had such a bad fallout a few years ago. My mind has deleted that. What I remember is the good times we had. Also, I think it's very important to have, you know, a lot of gratitude towards the universe. We can either say it's a bad day, or we can say the sun is shining and bright and I'm going to own the day.
Yeah.
It just depends on what we want to think.
Right.
I firmly believe in small joys. Having coffee with a friend is a joy. It doesn't have to be with any agenda. For me, that is important, that cup of coffee. I want to enjoy that. I want to enjoy just walking down the lane, enjoying the plants, the trees, the birds chirping. I want to enjoy that. So I live in the moment. And I compartmentalize a lot of my day. So when I'm working, I'm working. And when I'm with my family, it's family time. And I don't like to mingle the two.
So while you draw energy from one, you're satisfied, and then what you do in the other is you're giving
like
100%.
Like I said, my passion is my profession.
Yeah,
so it's never tiring for me.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you land up, if you're a creative mind, creativity comes in different forms.
Absolutely.
So for me, that's my energy.
Mm-hmm.
My children, huge source of energy. They keep me on my toes and I
in
love every part of it. Every part of it. I sometimes feel they're growing up so fast I need to hold on to them.
How old are they now?
They're nine.
Twins.
A boy and a girl.
Wow. And what are your ambitions for them?
I don't have ambitions for them. I feel let them make their own destiny. And as parents, we can just be there for them. As parents, we can give them the best advice and we can tell them the right and the wrong. But I encourage my children to make their own decisions and live with it. And I, as a parent, like to tell them the pros and cons for each. But then let them follow their passion. So I'm actually very okay if my daughter wants to become an artist and paint on a beach in Mauritius.
Right.
As I'm happy with my son becoming a chef tomorrow. Though both of them don't want to do any of it, but still. I'm very happy if they can, when they grow up, my only ambition for them would be that they should be happy every day. In whatever they do.
Right.
I'm not a very ambitious parent to say, I want them to pick this profession and I want them to go for these classes. No, I am very okay with them choosing whatever they want to do, as long as they're good human beings.
Yeah.
Tell me, besides your creativity, which is your passion and has been your hobby, are there any other hobbies which you dwell?
I read a lot.
Okay. Which is the last book you read?
I'm reading Indra Nooyi's book.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I'm a trained Bharatnatyam dancer.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes.
And do you practice?
You know, it's a very funny story, and I have to tell you. You know, in the south of India, dancing is a part of your culture.
Yes.
Or musical instruments. Anything to do with culture, with the art form, is part of your education.
Mm.
In the north, dancing is not looked upon. It's actually looked down upon.
It's the marriage time. In front of the horse, you have to dance, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Worse still.
Yeah.
Kothe waliyan nachti
hai. Oh,
it's worse. Okay.
You're right, yeah.
Mm. Now, here I was learning Bharatnatyam. And I was, I think, 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
And my father came home one day and said, where is she coming from? So my mother said, oh, she's learning Bharatnatyam. And my dad looked very shocked. And he said, what? So my mother said, yeah, she's learning Bharatnatyam. And he said, but that's not ladylike. And you know why it's not ladylike?
Right.
Because when you're dancing, you become flat-footed.
Yes.
Which is not ladylike, because then it's uncomfortable to be in heels.
Oh, okay.
So I should be doing more ladylike things. So the next day, I'm horse riding. Because that's more ladylike.
Okay.
But I continued my dancing.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is an interesting point. Your father made a comment, right? But you still went back to your passion. What was the spirit behind
no,
it?
No, you see, my father, we're three sisters.
Yeah.
And I think we've been brought up like boys.
Okay.
My father's only thing was it should be more ladylike. Now, it's not like dancing is not ladylike. He was more bothered about the flat foot. But otherwise, to say, I think, you know, I honestly feel I've had a very privileged childhood.
Mm.
And the reason I say today that I don't have ambitions for my children, except for them to be happy, is because that's what I imbibed from my parents.
Hmm.
And they let us do things that we wanted to do.
Hmm.
And so it was not like I was stopped from dancing. It was, I did horse riding. I actually played lawn tennis at a national level.
Wow.
Under 16. And then yet I was studying and doing the normal activities.
What did you study in college?
I majored in economics. I'm an arts student. Yeah. And then I did my post-graduation in mass media.
Okay.
So that's where you were clear that you were heading towards entertainment.
Actually,
business.
No. In college, a friend of mine, her father used to work for Doordarshan. And because I'm from north of India,
right.
My Hindi is much better.
Yeah.
And they needed an anchor.
Okay.
So she said, would you want to do it for pocket money? I said, haan, kyun nahi?
Hmm.
So I started anchoring.
Hmm.
And believe you me, it's not easy to anchor these Doordarshan shows. I was interviewing Nitin Gadkari.
Okay.
And I had to ask him a question on encroachments next to the seashore.
Hmm.
So I thought of the question in English. I translated it into Hindi. And I said, Mantri ji, ye samundar ke kinare pe jo jhopadpattiyan badhti ja rahi hain, aap inke baare mein kya karne wale hain? My producer says, cut it. The question is, Mantri Mahode, samundar ke tat par badhte hue atikraman ke baare mein aapke kya vichar hain?
Shudh Hindi. Yes.
I couldn't say atikraman.
Well, I mean, I come from that lineage of Doordarshan and All India Radio, my family. So, yeah.
Now you know.
I know.
And then I said, wow, this is a fascinating world. And that was my first exposure to it. And I come from a bureaucratic family. So when I took up arts, the assumption was, ye to civil services ka exam degi. First year mein wo kill ho gaya. Then second year was, chalo MBA karegi. That also didn't happen because the third year I said, ab to mass media karungi. And that's how it happened. And, you know, at the same time.
But what was happening in college? Were you doing extracurricular activities or doing dramatics? And you figured out, okay, there's something brewing inside me.
No, actually lots. You know, I was from Chandigarh and I moved to Bombay to do my college.
Okay.
The city itself is full of energy. It's a very vibrant city.
Yeah.
And it just gives you so much exposure to theater, to dramatics, to Bollywood as well. But at the same time, I think, you know, I had exposure to everything, but I just said, I want to do mass media because the sheer ability to tell a story and to create, that's a very empowering thought as well.
Yeah.
So for me, it was about being able to tell stories and create stories.
Do we see a book coming from you in future? I can see that
it
on
is.
Your face right now.
But it's a nonfiction book.
Nonfiction, is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. It is.
Is it going to be a biography or
no,
some?
No.
Okay, don't tell.
No, but that's a different form of, you know, it's been on my mind and my to-do list. But I have to get down to doing it. So maybe 2022, who knows? Who knows? I want to act in a play though.
Oh, nice.
I've been telling everybody, nobody gives me a play.
But you've done theatre.
No. So I just recently lent my voice for a play.
Mm-hmm.
It's for a friend, Juhi Babar Soni, her play, Aapki Sayara.
Okay.
So I play one of the friends on the phone.
Okay.
But in my previous company, I was heading their theatrical division and we were working very closely with theater personalities to create theater mm-hmm. shows, plays, and large format shows. And I think, again, a very fascinating medium
yeah.
because there are just no retakes. It's a live audience. You can't say, cut it, edit me, dub kar lenge. You can't do any of that.
Yeah.
So I want to experience that.
So we'll see you there next now.
I don't know. I hope. Kisi ko bolo dene ke liye.
So this entire space of fiction in fiction originals, which is taken off even in podcasts. I mean, that also has a lot of theatrical elements coming up in that, right? So you have to create that atmosphere, use all those surround sounds, which used to happen in radio earlier.
Yeah, the radio plays that used to happen.
Radio plays,
yeah.
Right? Wo katori lekar aate the and you know
bilkul.
Give that sound effect, ke drums are beating or something like that.
Correct.
So are you also working on one of your podcasts in that space? Originals, which are more fiction?
You know, we've just done one which is on already out.
Hmm.
It's based on serial killers of India.
I think within podcasts also, I've seen a lot of horror and, action, thriller, takeoff. People like to listen to that at night.
See, the best thing about podcasts is they like to listen to that. At the same time, I think they like to listen to motivational shows.
So it's two extremes, huh?
Spirituality,
inspiration, mindfulness. And here you have this another
Correct.
Extreme.
Like, I mean, your
middle
show,
path hai nahi.
Your show is all about mindfulness.
Yeah.
And now it's about empowering women.
Yes.
And telling inspiring stories. And there's a huge market for this as well. And yet there's a whole market for horror and all of that, you know. So I think the bigger the gamut, like I said today, the consumers are spoiled for choice. And there's something for everyone.
So what are the trends in 2022, according to you, within entertainment?
I think short-form content will see a big leap.
Mm.
I think podcasting will become even bigger than what it is.
Mm.
I think while crime and thrillers will continue in the web series, I think we would like to see more content for women. Because at the moment, what I miss in the Indian web series space is good content for women. So any of the shows that you hear are on the top of the charts, mostly crime
yeah.
and horror and, you know, very few women, shows for women. So I want to see more of that. And I think movies will just continue to be, because the love for theater will never die. It's a whole family experience.
Yeah.
And I think
that's here to stay.
That's
that experience you can't take away.
That's here
yeah.
to stay.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of short-form content and podcasting. I hope a lot of woman-based content
yeah.
and good content movies.
Content-based movies.
Content-based movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what, in your opinion, are the traits that make a person unstoppable during pandemic?
Well, I feel, like I said, pandemic is a phase that caused a pause in our lives, right? It paused us to think what we wanted to do. It gave us time with families that we otherwise did not have. It, you know, made us think where we want to go. And what is more important in any situation, pandemic or no pandemic, is to be able to stay calm. And again, before you react, pause and think. For me, I like to think before I jump into anything. And that, I think, gave me a sense of calmness in the pandemic. It allowed me to kind of clear a lot of things that I did not want to do. That happened. I think also the pandemic made you value certain people.
Yeah.
We all go for big parties and big events and all of that. But I think the pandemic made you value people in your life and people you want to spend time with. So for me, the biggest thing when it came to relationships in pandemic was that I wanted to pick the ones that I want to spend quality time with.
Isn't that true?
You know, you have hundreds of acquaintances, but there are those handful of friends and that handful of family that you want to spend more time with.
Yeah.
Because of the whole uncertainty, the unpredictability of the situation,
yeah.
I think you learned to value every day and every moment.
How was the second wave for you? I mean, I think that was a period which was the most heavy for all of us.
So, you know, Shailaja, for me, the first wave of the pandemic took away a dear, dear friend of mine. Okay. Sajid Wajid, the music composer. So Wajid went away.
Yes.
A dear friend of mine, he was suffering. I mean, he had a kidney transplant and then COVID took him away. For me, it was a time when you could not say a goodbye because you were not allowed to go out. It was lockdown.
Mm.
And I never got closure. And I could never believe that Wajid was not there.
Mm.
And then I lost another dear friend, not because of COVID, but other complications, was the director, Nishikant Kamat. Nishi and I were working on something together, and then he too passed away. And again, during pandemic, so again, no closure. It's tough. It's very tough. And till about 2 weeks back, I had, you know, I could just not make myself go back to Sajid Wajid's studio and even meet Sajid Bhai. And just 2 weeks back, I actually went and I called him and I said, I want to come to Taleem and I want to be there. And he said, just don't come and cry. And I needed that closure because for me, it was just emotionally very tough to accept that somebody who we had worked on so many songs, we've done like movies together, that he was not there.
Yeah.
And that, you know, usually the closure comes in when you have a prayer meeting, when you have people to hug. And that kind of made me value the friends that one has.
Mm.
That kind of makes you value the family you have. And we've, you know, I think all of us lost on a lot of people, but I think one needs to learn and one needs to grow with time. Absolutely. Hold on to this relationship. Like I said, small joys.
Yeah. You know, what you're saying about closure, I so agree. It's almost like ripping away a page from your book, right? And which was meant to be there. It's just incomplete. The story is so incomplete without closure.
Exactly. And you know, there's also saying, they say time heals everything. I actually don't think time heals anything. I think time just helps you deal better with your loss. And it's important to, again, hold on to people you like, you love. Sometimes we'll end up thinking, you know, call aaya hai, kal kar lungi return. Usi waqt karo, because you don't know kal aayega ki nahi. Yeah.
True. I mean, I lost my dad in 2005. And, you know, in last 3 weeks, he was with us. I just asked him randomly. He was in the hospital. So anything you want to tell me about life? And he said, don't procrastinate.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do, just do it.
Yeah.
It just rings in my ears, you know.
Yeah.
And after that, it's just about if I want to do something. Many people gauge their options.
Yes.
If I feel I want something, I'm very one-pointed because I know this is it. My dad had plans 20 years from then, you know, he'll do this and that. He went away.
He went away. Yeah. And you know, I think losing a parent, it's very tough. So for me, 2012, I was pregnant, like I told you, laid up in bed. Emotionally, a very tough time for me because here I was expecting twins, going through my own share of you know, journey of bed rest and injections and doctor visits and so on and so forth. Yeah. And my dad was suffering from cancer. Okay. Now, you can imagine the helplessness of a daughter and the helplessness of a father not being able to be there physically with each other. And Shailaja, I don't remember a single day during that time when I've called my father and he's not been his brightest best. He's never complained to me saying today was a tough day or chemo was tough. Not one single day. And for me, that's where the energy comes from. Imagine what he was going through, but he never passed it on to me.
So you essentially were inspiring each other.
We were inspiring each other.
Yeah, in your toughest of your moments in life.
And during my delivery, my mother could not be with me because she was with my father. Imagine the pain she was going through of the helplessness of not being there. But as a family, if you're strong, you get past it. And when I lost him in 2013, just like you said, you know, you take those learnings and you say, you know, you say, how would he have reacted? What would he have said to me? And you just get along.
Yeah. In this situation, how would he react to it? How would he guide me? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And then you just, and I think daughters have a very different bond with their father. Very special bond. Wo na wo explain bhi nahi kar sakte. So for me, I still miss him. And I think, like I said, time teaches you to deal with it better. But I always pause to say, how would he have reacted? And that just sees you through every day.
So this is interesting, you know, because what I see is you always focus on the glass half full. And I think I've seen one of your blogs where you've written this, right? You look at life, which is where the glass is half full. And it's not about dwelling in the negativity of situations or what people are doing. It's about just moving on with the positivity. And that's your sunshine, or that's the wisdom, you know, the guiding wisdom which you are following.
Yes.
Which keeps you up, upbeat every day.
I don't think feeling negative about anything is helping the situation. I think it's just pulling you down. And I believe if you're with positive thoughts, you're going to be surrounded with positive people.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, actually, scientifically also.
Yes, yeah. It's true. Your aura becomes positive. You start attracting positive people. Yeah. It just is how you tune your mind. Like I said, I have the unique ability of deleting the negatives and only remembering the positives. And that
is a very childlike mind, innocence. That's how child lives their days every day, right? I mean, they'll forget, mama ne daanta tha kal. Chalo, aage chalte hain.
Correct. Even I like to believe that. Yeah. I like to believe that. I'm still a child at heart.
Yeah.
Like I said, I enjoy the small joys.
Yeah.
So, main to sadak pe jis din mujhe pani puri wala dikh jayega, I think, you know, just that two pani puris on the road
will bring you all the joy.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
You'll be in the moment. That's meditation for you.
Yeah,
that's,
I'm in the moment. So I do pray. I do believe in the power of prayer. But I believe that half an hour, 1 hour of praying is not the game changer. It's how you imbibe it and live it 24 hours is where the real meditation is.
Very true. Very true. It's meditation in action.
Yes. Because you're into mindfulness. You talk about it all the time. So you know what I'm talking about. That it's not just that, you know, 15 minutes every day. It's how you imbibe.
Actually, a very interesting thing. In fact, my husband told me one day, he read somewhere that actually when you're doing the 15 minutes, you know, practice on the yoga mat, it's the prep for the life ahead.
Yes.
Right. So it's that's not it. It's not going to end there. It's a prep for the real action which you have to do in life through the day. That's where your mindfulness meditation is happening.
Absolutely.
So that's where, you know, your, how do I say, the buttons are getting pushed. You know, life is testing you. Achha, kitna seekha hai.
Correct. And also, I think it just, if you're mindful, you will be able to see things in a different light. And I think that is where the real
game changer is.
And to be able to analyze situations in a more objective manner, keeping emotions aside. You know, and I think that is what the real, like you said, game changer is.
Lovely talking to you, Monisha.
Thank you. Same.
What is your message for our listeners, you know, going into 2022?
So I think your mind is the most powerful thing. Isko please use karo and do something meaningful. And just remember, छोड़ना बहुत आसान है, निभाना बहुत मुश्किल, बट अगर निभाओगे तो इन द एंड यू विल बी द हैप्पीएस्ट पर्सन. सो जस्ट स्टे पुट, स्टे फोकस्ड एंड जस्ट गो गेट एंड फुलफिल योर ड्रीम्स.
थैंक यू सो मच फॉर कमिंग ऑन द शो.
थैंक यू फॉर
लवली होस्टिंग यू.
थैंक यू.
थैंक्स फॉर ट्यूनिंग इन. Join us again next week for more inspirational stories from Unstoppable Women.